This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and we've talked a ton about Shedeur Sanders, and I don't think he's going to be on the Giants, but The theory that I did not like, Jerry, about the Giants passing on a quarterback early and then taking one later was that if you didn't think the guy at the top of the draft was going to be the future of your organization,
why would those guys be?
Why would the other guys be?
I agree.
Okay. However, I'm trying to sell myself on one particular situation, and that's with Jalen Milroe, because this guy clearly is not ready to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And everybody that was evaluating him said, stay in college. And you could be, have a good year, get a little bit better. You could be the number one overall pick.
And make a lot more money again.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay there. You're not ready. And he didn't listen. And he came out. And he's going to go to the draft, which is a silly thing.
Now, Sanders said he's not going.
Sanders isn't going. Jalen Milroe is. Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Even though Sanders could drop significantly as well. But everybody who said this guy's not ready, there's so much that he needs to work on, also say, you know, this guy is one of the better athletes we've seen at the position in a while. Now, we also heard that about Anthony Richardson, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But, and that didn't necessarily work out. And there's a lot of Anthony Richardson qualities there with Jalen Milroe, which is someone who's got such physical, unbelievable talent, but just doesn't look like he's completely understanding the position right now. But I think I can be sold on, if you really don't like Shedeur that much and you draft Abdul Carter and then you end up either trading back into the first round or using that second pick in the second round that you have. So it's 33. I think it's number 34 that they have in the second round on Jalen Milroe, and then have him just never see the field. No way, no how are you playing next year? And you got Jameis there, you got Russell Wilson there, you got Tommy DeVito there, and we are going to teach you everything from the ground up like you've never played the position before, and then see how it goes a year after that. I think I could be sold on that one.
I guess.
But not Jackson Dart, not Shuck. Milroe's the one I could see, as long as he's not nowhere near the field in 2025.
All right, so let's paint this scenario. The Giants go 8-9 this year. They look like a competitive football team. They draft either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter at number 3. They pass on Sanders, and let's say that that's what they do. I would think the plan would be they've showed improvement. Shane and Dable coming back. They got their quarterback. Here we go next year. It's your in 2026. You are the quarterback. And he's an abject failure. I mean, you got to be this whole thing about drafting a quarterback and everybody's saying you got to get your franchise quarterback this year. Yeah, if you think there is one. And if that's the plan, you sure as hell better be sure that he's going to be ready to be your guy next year. And no one is. No one knows. That's why this whole thing is such a load of crap.
I know it is. But they have to go through this process and they're going to be judged on it. And Joe Shane has his job today. I am fully convinced because of the draft that he had last year. Because prior to that, he was swinging and missing in a huge way with the first round. Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, Deontay Banks, just brutal. So then he obviously comes back. There's so many contributors this year, all the way down to Tyrone Tracy. Obviously, Neighbors has a tremendous year. So I think that if they could find a way to get Abdul Carter, who shows up on the field as an impact player right away, we're talking like defensive rookie of the year type stuff. And then, you know, Milroe's there. They've won 7 or 8 games, like you said. And then all the reports are that you know, he's challenging. You know, he's in practice. He looks great. All that stuff. Those are two reasons now for John Mara to say, all right, let's go ahead. Because I don't want to now, if we think Milroe's a guy, I don't want to now pull the plug on that.
Of course.
And then give him another offensive coordinator. We worked on him for the entire year. So when you look at it from the standpoint of Dable and Shane sticking around, you know, two things have to happen. They got to win some games, which that's what they're doing with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. They got to try to win some games there. They got to show that they're drafting properly. Malik Neighbors, Abdul Carter, great. And they got to show the plan at the quarterback going forward.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Because where the hell are you getting your quarterback after that? You know, I mean, it's going to be the same thing next year. Who the hell are you going to draft someone next year then? Maybe you don't have an opportunity to draft a guy next year.
It's just such a complicated conversation, and this is why I do feel for GMs all around the league that always get it wrong. Like, if you're sitting there in Jacksonville, you feel pretty good that you got Trevor Lawrence. But do you really know? I mean, you had the 1 year, and he looked great, and that playoff win was incredible, and you want to say he's been banged. He's terrible last year. I mean, that guy was supposed to be as sure a thing as there is. He's getting paid a fortune now. Do you really know if Trevor Lawrence is going to turn out to be great?
No, of course, not, but it's not. You never do with any of these guys.
Exactly. But so my only point is now we're going to hope that someone you draft in the second or third round, I imagine the second round, is going to be the answer. And what if he turns out, what if you don't see what you said? Then what's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, then it's Christian Hackenberg. Then it's, you know, whoever the hell else that you drink, Kyle Loletta. Yeah, right. But the reason why I think Milroe is different, and it's just the fact the athleticism, and you get a full, you know, you're going to get a full year of,
and I
of
do like
tutelage.
That. I do like that.
So that's why. So if you're going to take a shot, you take a shot on a kid like this, you know? And then it's also an exciting fan base type of player too, you know? And it's like, man, you know, think about the Giants have been dead.
Dead.
I mean, if this guy ends up panning out for them and one of the most exciting athletes at the position, I mean, that would be incredible. So and you have a chance to get him with also drafting.
You're right.
A really, really high prospect. So
the reason why I always come back to Sanders is because what's between the ears, and I think his makeup will be willing and able to take anything that comes his way. I don't know why I think that. I just do. I don't know if it's because he, you know, there was a conversation on the Midday Show. Craig went in with Sal and BT. And he said, if Shador Sanders' dad was a plumber, would we be thinking this way about him? And I said, well, of course not. But that's the point, though. He grew up around greatness. He has had, you know, you can say maybe he's had it easy because his dad's been his coach. I think it's been the opposite. I don't think it's been easy for him. I think if you read his social media, I think he's already got the shell around him where he can take the slings and the arrows from the fans and from the critics, to where it's kind of like we always talk about when Twitter first came out, a lot of us joined, hey, this will be fun. And within a couple of months, you realize, well, people are coming at you pretty good. And the first time someone tells you you suck, it's hurtful. The second time, it bothers you. The third time, and as you more and more, now it's like, ha, you don't like me either.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, you're basically calloused from head to toe.
Yes, he has dealt with that. I really do believe every step of the way, and I think he could step into this market and handle it. I don't know Jalen Miller. I don't know. Maybe he could, maybe he can't. I just feel like he's won all, everywhere he's been, he's won. And I know he played at Colorado and Jackson State. It wasn't Ohio State. I get that. But I just feel like he's built for it. Your plan is fine, and I don't know why it wouldn't work.
And it's, by the way, it was never my plan to begin with. I always said draft the quarterback if he's there. If Shador's there, draft him. But I'm just thinking now that's not what's going to happen. So
doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. So I'm just now thinking, you know, is there another thing that I would agree with that they would do? And I think, you know, this would be it, this particular thing. Now, I'm not worried at all about Shador Sanders being able to handle it. The thing that scares me is, like, the way that the scouts are picking him apart and the way that he looks and how he plays.
Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. How come 3 months ago everybody talked about how this guy is just unbelievable and he's going to be a top five? And
I never got that sense.
See, I did. I felt like all along it was Sanders.
Right, but I never got that sense that it was a can't miss. I always felt from the beginning that they had knocked this quarterback class from the start. It's not as good as last year. Not as good as last year. You know, I remember back 3-4 months ago, Phil Simms said if J.J. McCarthy was in this draft, he'd be the overall number one pick. No doubt about it. So I do think that because it's Shador and because it's a lower quarterback class and that, he's got a lot of attention on him, but I don't think anybody's been looking at him like he was the next Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning coming out.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So last week we were talking about Brian Daboll not going to the Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Colorado Pro Day. He was asked about it. He's like, listen, I'm not a Pro Day guy. I've been to a couple of them. It's more about the private workouts. So, I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't know why you guys are making a big deal out of this whole thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, 180 is done. And Brian Daboll's ass is out there in Colorado.
Yeah, because he wanted to see Travis Hunter.
Well, he also had a private workout with Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
So...
So really, I mean, I got to give the Giants a lot of credit because trying to figure out what they're doing, it's really tough. I mean, they are doing a great job. I have to say, they're doing a great job of not giving any indication of what they're going to do. But I will say that if Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders are there at number three, that is going to be the moment in the draft.
Yeah, well, it's also the flavor of the week that Travis Hunter will be taken by the Browns. That is now the thing. The odds have changed. People, the talk all over the league is now that Travis Hunter is going to go number two to the Browns. So it happens.
So that means it's Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, for the Giants because Cam Ward.
Or Mason Graham.
Possibly, you know, any one of those guys. But yeah, it'll be really interesting. And I don't know if it's one of these deals where the Giants like had made a decision that they didn't love Shedeur, and now they're thinking like, oh man, maybe we should take another look, or maybe John Mara's like, you sure about this? But it was interesting that Daboll wasn't there. Then all of a sudden, the entire Giants in brass was there. We were talking every single person from scouts to assistant GMs to Daboll and Shane to everybody. We're at the Colorado Pro Day, and they had the private workout with him. So, I don't know. I will still say and stick by that if Shedeur Sanders is there at three, they will take him. I will still stick by that. And it seems where we are right now, even though it's shocking to me that the Cleveland Browns are not going to take a quarterback with the situation that they're in, but if they end up taking Travis Hunter and Cam Ward goes one like everybody expects now, and as I mentioned, I was making that comparison between Steve McNair and Cam Ward that might end up at in the same franchise there. But Shador's there. He's going to the Giants.
Did you see any of the Shedeur interview on the NFL Network after?
I did not.
We should get maybe tell Jerry to get some cuts from that because he is a really, really confident person.
You saying that in a bad way or a good way?
I mean, part of me loves it because part of me means you got to be that way. You got to believe in yourself, even though, you know, there may be some things that you say about yourself that probably, like, are going to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And he is extremely confident. And he said something in there about, like, hey, you know, I'm a Sanders. They've been coming after me for years. Like, that kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how to take it. I'm like, I want my quarterback to be really uber confident, and I could probably look back some, you know, 40 years ago and think that I was that same guy.
Yeah, I mean, with fewer cameras on you.
Same thing that he was saying, same thing that, you know, he is amplifying now, but it's just that it's out there everywhere for everybody to see, so therefore everybody can weigh in and comment on it.
Yeah.
So I kind of want the guy that's got some swag. I kind of want the guy that really honestly believes in himself. And that's what I took away from the interview. But when you hear it, you can understand why the reports out of the combine that, you know, he turned off a couple of assistant coaches or whoever, maybe the quarterback coach for the Jets. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I want a guy that's confident. I just want a guy that loves it and wants to be involved in it and doesn't want all the trappings around it.
Yeah, I mean, that one particular, and I'll have to hear him say it, but if that's what he said, then I like that for the Giants about I'm a Sanders, and they
have come after me for years, because that's the exact type of thing we talk about a guy coming to New York and not being prepared for everything that goes on. Now, it's actually, it's different with the Jets and the Giants we've talked about, but still now, the Giants have been down for a very long time. They need to find that savior, and someone who's just like, is green, for lack of a better term, or just doesn't have that type of life experience or pressure, can get swallowed up.
I'll tell you what, though, man, if Travis Hunter is there, and you compare him with Malik Neighbors, I'm telling you,
what
Russell,
is he going to play? Everybody says he's going to be a corner more than a wide receiver.
I think when you watch his movements as a wide receiver and his ability to contort his body and make catches, I mean, he's about as good as they get, and he's right there at the top of the list. I mean, he is a incredible athlete. I mean, just so gifted, and especially when he's got the ball in his hands. That's the rub. Like, that he is a can't-miss player. I think most of the people that are covering the draft believe that Abdul Carter is a can't-miss player. And these are two of the most important positions, highest-paid positions in the NFL. Edge rusher and wide receiver.
Yeah, other than quarterback. That's right. Premium positions.
100%. So, I don't know. I still think, maybe Cleveland does take Travis Hunter. I still believe that they're going to get what either him or Abdul Carter, right? So that really leaves it up to the Giants to determine how the draft is going to play out after that.
That's the first time I've seen that Travis Hunter dance they just played there. Did you see that?
Yes.
That was ridiculous. So you don't make much of the switch of Brian Daboll going there.
Maybe one last look. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I mean, he was like adamant about,
they keep stats. Like, he was 58 of 61
just stupid.
With three drops. And come on, man. He's out there in his underwear. The only thing I will say is that he does have a horde of scouts, coaches, and reporters covering every move he makes. So there is a little bit of pressure in terms of having to perform under those circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes both ways, where he is certainly the hype machine and been boosted up by the fact that he is a Sanders, and he's been covered in the way that he's been covered. He's probably been on ESPN too much with his games. And then there's the other side of all these people that want to drag him down because they think that some sort of nepotism thing where it's like, hey, he's not that good. He's just the only reason he's here is because he's Dion's dad. So he's experiencing a little bit of both of those
things. I've gotten a number of different opinions from people that I admire and respect in the NFL. One of the opinions is you don't want a part of this circus. You don't want any part of the circus. This is going to be ridiculous. He's, Dion's going to be all over the place. He's going to be lurking in the background. I mean, that's a thought within the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want any part of this circus. And then there's the other thought that here's a guy that at least if you draft him, the moment you draft him, you move the needle. You move the needle because now all of a sudden you become front and center. You got Shador Sanders as your quarterback, which now also puts the guys you already have on the roster in a kind of a pickle, like Russell and Jameis Winston in a weird spot because they're going to have to come. They're going to have to try to figure out how to, keep their own game going and dealing with the circus that's come to town.
Yes, but true in that part of it, but they also both know that they're not here long term. This was a bridge to somebody, to who we don't know, but a bridge to somebody.
It'd be a bridge to nowhere.
Yeah, well, it has been for many years with them. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, just the name moves the needle. Maybe not the game moves the needle with Shador Sanders.
But that's the point. On draft night, if the Giants are up on the board and all these Giant fans are out there in Green Bay for the draft.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want him. I got to be honest with you. I don't think, I don't know. I mean, we always talk about the friends in our lives and what they think. And, we get calls here. It's been sort of split. But I don't think they're going to like that. I just don't. I don't think the Giants fan wants Shador Sanders. However, I mean, it will without a doubt breathe some relevance into this proud organization that has been down for so long. That's for sure.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
For me, BT, I don't care if it's the number three pick overall. I don't care if it's Jador Sanders. The Giants' primary goal coming out of the 2025 draft should be that they have a quarterback that they identify to be the franchise quarterback of the future. That's it. I don't care how it happens, who it is. That's the primary goal, and I'm starting to get the sense that it's just not going to happen for Joe Shane and Brian Dable.
Well, I don't know if they're going to get the right guy. They're going to get a guy at some point. I don't think it's going to be a three, and I would agree on this level. You and I disagree on a few things with this quarterback stuff with the Giants here and with Joe Shane, but I think if they don't at least, you know, take a swing for a quarterback within the first three rounds, I would be stunned. And I would hit them for that. I think that that's unacceptable. At some point, you got to get in the box and get a swing here. Let me ask you this. Do you think, just to kind of freshen it up a little bit, we'll get back to the calls. Do you think there is a chance that this is one giant, massive smokescreen by the Giants who are maybe trying to get in the head of the Browns? Like, I think we all think strongly that, all right, Cam Ward, number one, Tennessee. Tennessee's not trading. They're definitely not taking Sanders. They're going to take Cam Ward. Boom. Then you get to two, and there's a lot of guessing at number two. Well, maybe Travis Hunter. Well, maybe Sanders. Maybe Abdul Carter. Not that it would work, but if it's the motivation of the Giants to make it seem like they're not very interested in Sanders, you know, it's kind of a copycat league. Do you think there's any chance that the Giants actually love Sanders
No.
and are playing possum?
No, I don't.
So you don't believe in smoke screens at all?
I would be shocked. I would be pleasantly surprised, but I would be shocked if the Giants took Jador Sanders. Because I think they're in a position of control. I don't think Cleveland's taking Sanders there. I don't think they're taking a quarterback. I would also be shocked if that were the case. I think Cleveland's going to go the veteran route for a quarterback at some point. Sanders, to me, just doesn't fit what they would want to do with their head coach. All the money that they wasted on Deshaun Watson. I think Cleveland's taking the best player available in the draft. And I would go Abdul Carter myself.
Yeah.
Maybe they go Hunter. But I don't think it's a smokescreen from the Giants here. I think that the math is telling us that the Giants are... Look at Matthew Stafford. That's who the Giants really wanted.
Yeah, we said that. And that told us all we needed to know. It wasn't like a Rodgers 1 year, maybe, or 2 year thing with Stafford. It would have been probably three. So if you were that aggressive with the offer, and they came correct with their offer, they were trying to get Stafford to the Giants. We know that. So by them doing that so aggressively, and really, I think at the end of the day, they got played by Stafford, who never wanted to lead the Rams, which is what you said, by the way. You got that right. I think that they told us without telling us everything that they thought about this quarterback crew, or maybe Sanders and a lack of willingness to give up whatever it would take to move up to one. They could like Cam, but they don't want to make all those trades to get up there. See, I would think that it would still be advantageous, though, to play up Sanders. From a Giants perspective, the more teams behind me, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Saints at 9, whether it's maybe the Jets at 7, whatever, the more teams that think, man, the Giants love Sanders. They are really enamored with him. Well, it creates a little heightened, little pop around Sanders, even if you don't believe it, which could maybe pull somebody into a bidding war and you could get a great trade offer.
Where do you think Sanders ends up going?
9 to the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at the draft. We've done the math on some of the teams.
I said that 2 weeks ago. I thought that was a possibility.
I mean, there were mock drafts early on that had them taking Jackson Dart at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Saints are going to take a quarterback.
Yep.
I don't know if they love Sanders or not, but I think Sanders is going to drop. And I don't know if he gets past the Jets, though, at 7. I mean, there could be an appealing aspect to that where, and I give Muji a ton of credit for having the sack to go out there in his first year and take a quarterback with that 7th overall pick. Maybe they're thinking they couldn't get Sanders. Maybe he goes before that. If this is the second best quarterback prospect in the draft, according to the consensus, Muji working with Sean Payton a year ago, saw what he did with Bo Nix, thinking, hey, you know what? This is a guy we want to get in our building. He could be the future here. Just understanding the value that is. I don't know. I'm just curious to see where you think or how far you think Sanders falls. If it wasn't to the Saints, let's say the Saints went with Jackson Dart or whatever, something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's next for Shador Sanders? Where's
he? Pull up the list here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at some point somebody
Niners,
would probably.
No, but I think. Bears, no. Cowboys, no.
But I think somebody would probably look to make a trade at that point. So I don't think it would be a conventional answer. We could run down the teams. We know who needs a quarterback.
Right, but
and
we
who
even
doesn't.
Did that. We did that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, let's do it again. Maybe it changed.
Well, how? I mean, who are the teams that need even a quarterback in that spot that would trade up?
Let me see.
Cincinnati, no.
No.
Seattle, no. They just got Sam
probably
Darnold.
Probably not. No, probably. Sammy didn't get a long
Tampa
commitment,
Bay, no.
Though.
Denver, no.
We're going through this fast, but I think there's a little pushback that could occur here. So you said Seattle, and I would say probably not. It's not an incredible commitment they gave Darnold. What was the one after that? Okay, Bucks. I know Tampa likes Baker. I don't know that they're married to Baker. Maybe it's just a lengthy, courtship, but not a marriage. I don't know.
I mean, look, maybe the Cardinals who pick before that, they pick after the Falcons. They are 4, 8, 12, 16th, I think, the Cardinals. And the Steelers is is one of the, he's meeting with the Steelers, or what is it? He's working out with the Steelers or something like that going on soon here.
Let's see here.
I mean, there's just a chance, and we've seen this happen with these quarterbacks. There's a chance some of these guys fall, and he seems to be a prime candidate to drop significantly if the Giants and Browns don't take him. You throw the Jets in there, maybe that's even a long shot. Then the Saints, maybe the Saints like Jackson Dart better. Now you start painting the picture where Shador really falls.
I think that's possible. I don't think no matter what, he's not falling past 15. I don't think we have an Aaron Rodgers green room situation. I don't. I did say to you a week or so ago, now this is a sleeper, but it might be a sleeper kind of team who takes him, Miami. I mean, I don't know how you trust Tua's health moving forward. If they like him and they have him highly graded, then I would make that, okay, that's possible. I'm with you on the Saints at 9, not with the Bears. Niners, no. Dallas, maybe if they didn't just make that trade. Probably not, though. Panthers, no. I think the Colts at 14 are an option. 15, no. You said the Cardinals, maybe. Bengals, no. Seattle, probably not, but I'll leave it slightly open. Same with the Bucks. Denver, no. Steelers, maybe. Falcons, no. Packers, no. I mean, there's not a lot of teams once you get to a certain point. I'll grant you that. But I think somebody would scoop in and probably take him before 15, I think.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Angelo's in Howard Beach. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Just really quick, with just a quick comment on Dable and Shane, just because, they're both going into year 4 now. They're both kind of first-timers at their positions now, and just going in, I am extremely more confident in Shane than I am in Dable, I think when you look at him, it's been reversed. You know, you have Dable comes in, coach of the year. Year two was a disaster. They want to blame the injuries. Year three, it got worse, you know, and then it's the opposite with Shane, where you can point to that first draft where he messed up Evan Neal, but that was a chalk pick, you know what I mean? And Thibodeau, same type of deal, but he's gotten progressively
better. How about the other 20 picks he made in the first round that year in 2022? What, we just give him a full pass?
No, not at all. For the other 20 picks he made
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. The Giants had 11 picks in 2022.
Oh, yeah, those aren't first-round picks, though. I mean, Robinson wasn't terrible.
Are we going just based off of first-round, or are we going overall? You don't win just based off of first-round picks.
No, that's the point. The first draft, was, you know, he's gotten progressively better with his drafting.
Well, how was the second year?
The second year wasn't terrible. You know, Schmidt, sure, you know.
Deontay Banks, round one. Jalen Hyatt, round three.
Switched the whole system with Banks.
Eric Gray, round five.
Yeah, year two wasn't very good. Year three was much better. See, I would, Angela, hold on one second. I would say, and listen, I respect your opinion. I know what you mean, but I would frame it a little differently, okay? So early on, the equation was supreme faith in Brian Dable, not so much faith in Joe Shane. I will grant you that my faith in Dable has eroded for many reasons, but the faith hasn't become so strong in Shane where I look at him as a massive asset, and I look at Dable as this detriment. I just think both of them right now were hanging by a thread.
Yeah, I don't know how you could say clearly that you'd value Shane. What has Shane done? Well, okay, yeah, last year he had a great draft.
you knew what I was going to say.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only thing you can say to pump him up.
I can't say it was a great draft.
No, I'm not saying it was great.
Okay, it was good. Better than the crap that he put out there for 2 years before. That does not erase the 2 years before that.
No, I understand that.
At least what Brian Dable did was he did definitively take Daniel Jones and turn him into a playoff-winning quarterback in his first year. Now, they couldn't sustain it for many reasons, but at least we saw that from Brian Dable. Things have gotten progressively worse. You want to say that, all right, things are getting progressively better with Shane? I don't see that. I could say that he had his best draft. The other two drafts were abysmal, and this was his best draft so far. You got to have more than just 1 year.
Yeah, you can't hit 333 as a general manager and get touted as a stud. I agree.
And it's not like saying that these guys, Tyrone Tracy looked good, but he's got some issues too. He was fumbling the football all over the place. Like, he's no lock guaranteed stud. He was better than the stuff that they've drafted before that, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a star. Theo Johnson, I liked him as a player.
I like him.
Got some potential.
I like him.
All right, but what exactly did he do? I mean, it wasn't like he was lighting it up either. Drew Phillips, I love. All right, Newman. And we know what Neighbors is. Yeah, anybody could have picked Neighbors. As a matter of fact, I think it was a bad pick because they should have taken a quarterback. But I don't understand how anybody could sit here and say Joe Shane has done a good job.
No, I'm not saying that. I would, you know what I would like to do? I really would like to, it'll never happen, but this would be very interesting to me. I would love to sit, I shouldn't say it would never happen. Probably won't happen. I would love to sit next to somebody and already have all this film that I'm about to preface ready. Sit down with somebody who knows quarterbacks and knows offense, right? And watch them respond to some of the plays that the Giants, Dable, has diagrammed that haven't worked that football person believes could work with a better quarterback. Because it happened a lot last year where not just the flea flicker in Germany where Daniel Jones wouldn't throw the football. Like, there were plays to be had downfield where they wouldn't let it rip. They wouldn't eat. And if that's a better quarterback, and that's a 28-yard gash, and that's a 37-yard touchdown, and that's a 15-yard first down, I'm not saying that the Giants would have been good or their offense would have been very good, but it wouldn't be viewed as incompetent. Like, I think that some of Dable's strengths have been overlooked because the quarterback just didn't have the guts to let it fly.
Well, who stuck with his quarterback?
What was his option?
Yeah. What do you mean? They could have drafted somebody. They could have drafted
somebody. He's not the general manager, Sal. He can't draft somebody.
Well, yes, they both can.
I'm saying Dable can't say, Joe, you better take this guy.
Yeah, they should.
He's the coach.
They should. They
He's not the GM.
It's a collaborative effort.
It isn't.
Who brought in Drew Locke?
I mean, I guess I don't know.
If they were that worried about Daniel Jones, and they should have been, then couldn't you get a better quarterback, a better backup than Drew Locke?
That's one of the mistakes they made. For $5 million, it was money poor spent. Once Jones went down, and that's one of the reasons why I think the Giants will be much more watchable this year. If Russell Wilson stinks and or gets hurt, at least Jameis Winston is interesting, where Drew Lock was a stiff. No, that was a colossal fail by whomever made it.
Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in Westchester. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Matt?
I listen to you guys all the time down at school, so first time caller.
We appreciate it.
I just had a point about Shane and then about Drury. Sal, I agree with you a lot, but this one I just can't agree with you on. You said that you'd pick Drury over Shane and that Drury built that roster. Panarin, Kreider, Zibanejad, Fox, and Shesterkin were all there before Drury got there.
Yeah, what I'm saying is he built a team that was a team that was successful in the postseason. He knew the right pieces to put around those guys. I like Drury's moves that he made to get this team to another level before those guys. Now, sticking with them long term, that's a different story. But I give Drury credit for getting this team. Remember where they were before he got there? They were going in the wrong way. They were soft. They were all finesse. He toughened them up a little bit. So that's why I give Drury credit for the way he built this team.
That's fine. And then the one thing I had about Shane was you knocked on him about the Thibodeau and the Neal pick. Obviously, they didn't pan out the way they were, but you can go back and look at mock drafts and all these guys like Mel Kiper and everything. Neal and Thibodeau were projected to be the first overall pick at times and projected to be in the top three. And you can go back and look. I'm almost 99% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that the first year when Shane drafted, he didn't have his own scouts. It were the previous scouts that
I believe you're right about that. I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really knock him on the Thibodeau and Neal pick when they were projected first overall at times.
Well, yes, you absolutely can. What does that mean, they were projected overall? He's got to get that right, and thank you for the call.
Neal was ever projected first. I know Kayvon was a little bit. I don't think Neal was always projected high, not one.
It doesn't matter where they're projected. It matters when you take them, if you take them at all. I mean, then why hire Joe Shane? Why not just go hire Mel Kiper Jr.? Well, he was projected number one.
That's right.
And what about year two? All right, I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass on the busts in year one. What about year two? Deontay Banks round one. Did he have his scout team in place for that one? Did he have his scout team? How about Jalen Hyatt? I'm still waiting for Jalen Hyatt. Oh, no. Jalen Hyatt's going to stretch the field, give Daniel Jones an option to throw the ball down the field. Has Jalen Hyatt had a big catch in the 3 years he's been here? Or whatever, 2 years he's been here? I haven't seen it.
Zip.
Yeah, so, I mean, but did Shane have all the pieces in place around? I mean, come on, guys.
Well, now, listen, I do agree. You've got to judge people on what they do and who they draft. And, you know, it almost doesn't matter what the context was at the time when it happened. Did you get it right or did you not? That's the bottom line. But that's why I talk about clarity and a free mind with the Jets regime, because they're new. But I'm reading the post-draft analysis here on Evan Neal, who was as big a stiff as you could be. Yeah. I mean, he is lazy, he is awful, and it's just bad. But the first thing they talk about is the Giants' offensive line, like the summation, the summarization of what he is. Before they get to him, they talk about how the Giants' O-line's been a mess for a decade here. So did they look at Neal and say, man, this guy is amazing and we need him? Or did they just stretch the boundaries of what they believed to address a hole that was there for a decade? And I think it's more number two.
Okay,
maybe. And I'll give them a little more room to fail when you're reacting to what other people put you in. That's the difference for me.
What do you mean reacting to what
Meaning other- because you inherited such an awful offensive line that you may have liked Evan Neal, but not loved him. But since nobody else was really available, I think the Chargers went O-line at like 15 that year, forget the kid's name, but I think he's more inside anyway. I think that they probably overdrafted because it was such a desperate situation that they were put in, not by their own doing, by the previous regime.
Yeah, you could also trade down and take other players. I can't give the Giants a pass on that. I know that there were circumstances involved. He's used that as an excuse. All right, then what about year two? And by the way, if he's so good at building a team, how come they can't build a team that could win some games? How about this? Forget about even winning games. Can you build a team, if you're a great GM, can you build a team that, really, move the football? You don't even have to score. Move the football. Like, start with a first down, like a completion, maybe a block that can lead a run for a first down. Start with that. Move the football a little bit. Then we could elevate to scoring points, whether it be with a field goal.
You got to get those snaps down, though.
You could score a couple different ways in the NFL. I don't know if the Giants know this. It could be a field goal, or it could be a touchdown. that's like, you know, that's foreign to say at MetLife Stadium.
That's asking for a lot, yeah.
I understand it's asking for a lot.
It's a big ask, Sal.
Just how about just move the football? Then maybe we'll start throwing some flowers Joe Shane's way.
Is Joe Shane the worst front office guy in all sports? I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be spoken of at this point. I mean, it's. You're going to see next year, Dallas Cowboys are going to start a guy that they got in the for a fifth round pick. You know, where the Giants could have easily got him. I don't understand.
Well, hold on a sec, Pete.
Maris' number one thing going into the offseason was, we're going to get a quarterback via the draft. I'm sorry, via trade or a free agent signing.
Yep.
Yeah, they got one. Nothing. They got one, Russell Wilson. They got two,
God
actually.
Almighty, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh,
Russell
mean,
Wilson?
I'm serious. Russell Wilson to Jameis Winston.
Russell Wilson, and he got a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah, but Pete, hold on. I got a question for you here. So you're very quick. You're very quick to anoint Dallas, them getting this right, and they've done nothing for 30 years. But yet Shane, and I'm not the biggest Shane fan, but just to be fair, Shane's been here for a couple of years, and you already denounce him as and anoint him as a failure. I mean, it seems inconsistent.
Dallas wins 12 games a season.
Huh?
Dallas wins 12 games a season. Have they gotten over the hurdle of beating, winning a Super Bowl or even getting to it? No, they haven't, but they win 12 games a year.
Not anymore, they don't.
Dak got hurt last year. Thanks for the call, Pete. Your line's a little wonky there, so we'll let you go, but good point. I would agree with Pete there, BT, in that Dallas has at least proven to be a sustained team here for the last, better part of a decade, that they've been a top team in the NFC and the NFC East. Yeah, they haven't broken through in the postseason, but, I mean, the Giants wish they had a fraction of that success. Now, it doesn't mean that, what's his name?
Joe Milton?
Yeah. It doesn't mean Milton's going to be starting quarterback next year, but they did find their franchise quarterback. They've had no issues replacing Tony Romo. They go to Dak Prescott, obviously. Now, I look at Milton as a backup quarterback for them, not a starter next year, but point is, they addressed the franchise quarterback. Giants have not done that, and they've had sustained success. I'm not ready to say Joe Shane's the worst front office guy in all of sports. I mean, yeah, that you take it in a lot when
it's
you say that.
It's a heavy statement.
Yeah. I'm not even qualified enough, because we're not following all these teams on a daily basis the way we are here. But as it pertains to New York sports, he's in the running for it.
He ain't worse than the Rangers GM, that's for sure.
I think he is. At least the Rangers GM accomplished something.
At least Shane had a pretty good draft last year.
Oh, according to who?
But the players. I'm not saying it's a lights-out all-time draft, but there's some evidence that he drafted a couple of players who can contribute.
Oh, congratulations. I mean, it is year three.
it's his job.
I hope so.
Well, I understand, but that doesn't mean that you ignore it.
It was such a great draft that they won how many games again? I just don't understand. So what are we giving out, consolation prizes? Hey, you had one good draft. You got a few good players out there. Your team still sucks. You've been going backwards since the first year you got here. You can't even get to 500, but woo! I mean, that draft was good. Mara's standing out there all proud, like, we really had a good draft. Joe Shane, this is the first draft that I really got to. Okay, yeah, this is the first time you really got to make your presence felt. I would take Chris Drury over Joe Shane any day.
You think Drury has a job next year? You think he should?
I would keep him, and I do believe they are going to keep him.
But why, though? Why would you keep him?
I don't think he's the problem. I think he made a mistake. See, I like his tough ruling.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a mistake that it didn't go over well in that locker room with the way that he handled Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, with the trade, yeah.
However, it was the right move. Trouba's toast. The Rangers needed to get out from under it, mm-hmm. and he was reluctant to being traded because his wife had a job here and all that stuff. Now, Drury gave him the no trade or whatever it may be, and that's part on him. And he's the one who built this core group. They took it as far as they could. Unfortunately, fell short of a Stanley Cup. But the problems to me are Panarin, Zibanejad, Trouba was one. I think the issue is the core group. I think Drury knows it. Problem is, he's just got no way out of it.
See, it's also not a fair comparison. I just asked the question. But I think when you look at when Shane, and I even think that Muji's transition is going to be a lot easier than Shane's when he first came here. What did he inherit? He inherited a quarterback that nobody really wanted, let's face it. Here's another gift for you. Good luck figuring out the Saquon Barkley situation. Oh, yeah, by the way, we leave you no offensive line. I mean, I'm not a massive Shane believer. I do think he had a good draft a year ago. I hope he stacks another one. And if he does, well, now you have the semblance of a roster that's getting ready to compete. I think his Dallas is going the wrong way. Now, that also coincides with the Commanders going the other way. So I'm not saying it's going to be simple here. but the roster and the situation of the Giants was deplorably bad that he inherited. It was awful. Think about the complaints about Gettleman and Reese.
I don't know if I would go that. Yeah, understood.
Oh, the O-line's been terrible for 10 years.
Who were the best players when Shane got here? I mean, it was Dexter Lawrence. It was Andrew Thomas. I mean, guys that are already here.
Mm-hmm. No, that part's true. That's why I'm not defending him blindly. No, I'm not saying. I'm just trying to create a...
His excuse about, we needed to draft for based on need. Dude, nobody put a gun to your head. It's the first year. You took Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. I mean, my God. His draft picks have not been... He's had 3 years here. They have not been great. And everybody wants to talk about last year. Yeah, that's great. I also thought Deontay Banks was going to be a player until we watched him in his second year. Mm-hmm. So who's to say that the guys that they drafted last year are going to be great moving forward?
Well, I don't know. But I just think that it's... Everything's going to look worse when you step into a franchise with zero stability, zero consistency, zero depth, contract issues that are very, very tricky to navigate. And again, do I think he's here in a couple of years? Probably not. Do I think he's done a good job? No. Do I think he showed some signs of trending favorably last year? I do. And I want to see it again. But I mean, you think the Jets are a mess? I think he has a tougher job than Mucci.
Phil is calling from Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? I just got a comment about Devin Williams. Mm-hmm. I think maybe part of the problem with him is that he still hasn't forgotten the Pete Alonso home run.
Yeah, BT just said that.
Pete snatched his soul. Nah, I don't think his... I mean, could be it. I mean, listen, if you're a great player and he was a great relief pitcher, generally one, even though it was a big one, you know, one home run shouldn't destroy you and literally take your soul and just render you an inferior player or pitcher. I don't think that's going to be the case. But, I mean, the early returns are not favorable, but it's early. It's a couple times. I'm just saying he better buckle his belt tight this weekend, because when he's out there with the lead, if he shows signs of being sloppy again, Yankee fans are jumping all over him. And I wouldn't do it, but I will not blame them for doing that.
You know, most closers, I know we referenced a couple before the break, most closers should be able to handle a big blow like that, even that devastating one that ended your season, especially in a year was coming back from injury anyway. I do not think that Devin Williams is toast. All I was saying in the offseason is be careful saying that the Yankees bullpen significantly better. They lost Clay Holmes, who was an all-star, and they bring in Devin Williams. Everybody, yeah, he's the best. Hard to be better than an all-star, and you're seeing that already. Already, it's not even true. And by the way, Boone agreed when he was in studio with us the first time. Mm-hmm. He was saying the same thing. Hey, we're not just bringing in Devin Williams to what we had. We're replacing a guy who was an all-star for us a year ago in Clay Holmes. And now, again, Williams is starting worse than Holmes did even a year ago. All right, BT and Sal.
Hold on, Hop's got to Hop. What do you got there about Devin? Go ahead real quick.
Just really quickly, because I looked up. Williams' worst month is March, April, with an ERA of 3.86. But May goes down to 2.51. June, 1.65. July, 0.87. August, 1.55. September, October, 1.89.
Yep.
He seems like he's a Lindor. He starts slow. Yeah,
historically a slow starter, probably because his velocity's not there coming out of camp. And I've said it five times, but his best pitch is a changeup. That matters. Yeah, I think he's going to be good. But I think there's more issues than Devin Williams right now for the Yankees. I think they're two, you know, nine runs or no runs. I think their defense has been a little scattered this year. And let's face it, you look at their starting rotations numbers. I know it's early, guys, but Stroman's like a 6 ERA. Rodon's high fives. I mean, you got to get Luis Gil back at some point healthy. And Luis Gil needs to be healthy, and Luis Gil needs to dominate. Otherwise, the Yankees' rotation is going to be a mess this year.
We are two weeks and a day from the NFL draft. And I want to stay strong. I want to stay steadfast in what I have thought for a long time, which is the fact that Shador Sanders is likely to be drafted by the New York Football Giants. But so much smoke, Tiki, over the last week or so has been in regards to the fact that Cleveland's not going to take him at two.
Yep.
Okay. And even that the Giants aren't going to take him at three. And then we may be dealing with a Shador Sanders free fall.
Right.
Do you buy it?
No. Especially because of the one I just recently saw. Somebody's mock draft. I don't know who it is, and I'm not going to call him out. But whatever. They had him going in nine. And some people think in Pittsburgh. So I think this happens every single year where one of the top prospects at quarterback in particular, other positions we care a little bit about if they fall, but not really, right? Because they're just it's not the same kind of import as with a quarterback. But negative news starts to trickle out. With C.J. Stroud, it was I forget that new test that they use. It's not the Wonderlic test, but there's another test that they use to determine a quarterback's processing ability, his IQ, like all these things wrapped into one score. And C.J. Stroud was horrific. Mm. It was just terrible. And as a result, a lot of teams are out on C.J. Stroud. Meanwhile, he was the best quarterback in that draft. And he proved it immediately, and he's still proving it. And so what these teams throw this negative info out there just so they fall, and it gives them a chance to potentially draft them. So with Shador, because of all the success that he's had, both at Jackson State and then at Colorado, you know he can play. And if he gets into the right situation, you believe that he can be a success. I think a lot of this is nonsense based around the noise that Deion Sanders and his family brings to Shador Sanders. Has nothing to do with Shador Sanders' ability to be an NFL quarterback.
I agree it has nothing to do with his ability to be a quarterback. I am curious if it has anything to do with his confidence. And I personally...
Why would that matter?
I don't... Well,
you know who was the cockiest quarterback coming out that I think we've seen in a really long time? Joe Burrow.
Mm.
And it's not even close, dude. Shador Sanders can't hold a candle to how Joe Burrow was.
Right.
And so if that's what they're concerned about, especially given his father, you're thinking about the wrong thing.
Well, but haven't you
confidence
seen...
confidence matters.
I agree. Haven't you seen general managers in the past make draft decisions based on stupid things like that?
Oh, of course, because they don't... I think sometimes general managers believe that they are going to control that player.
Right.
Right? It's what I say goes. My coach is going to be whatever, and he's going to fall in line. And you don't want to neuter excellence. Like when you see it and you know it, you got to let it build and grow and foster it the right way. You don't want to try to cut somebody off from being who they actually are.
No, I love it. In fact, I want to play a clip for you. This was an interview that Shador Sanders did over the weekend on, I think it was NFL Live, one of the ESPN NFL-related shows, in which the direct question was asked, hey, why should a team pick you? So here's the question, and here's Shador's answer. I loved it, but what say you to everybody listening?
When they're interviewing you, if you're making the pitch as to why Shador Sanders should be the next quarterback of Insert's team here, what are some of the strengths of your game that you feel like you highlight when you're talking to these teams?
Let me ask you a question. What's the most important trait of a quarterback?
I'd say my decision-making and accuracy. Winning.
Consistency.
That works, too.
Look at the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking that's of yourself, how I know, right? I'm the best quarterback in the draft. So,
the consistency of your decision-making and accuracy. So it makes sense.
We text all boxes.
Yeah, I got
at
you.
At least the one guy. But, you know, I'm a Sanders. They can't put me.
I like his confidence.
Right.
I like the way he kind of gives it back. What do you think is most important? And then he talks about himself and what he believes in himself. Now, I'm a rookie when it comes to determining what I watch, like how good I think he's going to be. I'd be the first to raise my hand and say, I have no idea. I lean, though, with my novice eyes to, I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's going to be elite. I don't know if he's going to be Peyton Manning, but I don't think he's a bust. I think he's going to be good. And if I'm the New York Giants or I'm any team picking in the top five and I have a guy who's going to be good and going to be effective, I want that play.
By the way, good is good enough.
Yes.
There are not enough good quarterbacks in the NFL, period. And the ones that we think are good, sometimes they fall apart or they just disappear. You can get drafted in the first, second, third, fourth, or Mr. Irrelevant, and you just don't know how good someone's going to be until you actually see them in the league, period. Like, who did that?
Bobby Skinner.
Bobby Skinner did the post first round draft picks, and only really three of them have hit since 2016.
Non first round picks of quarterbacks.
There's three of them that hit: Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, and who was the third one?
It was Dak Prescott.
Oh, Dak Prescott, obviously. There's not a ton of first rounders. It's about 30% every year first rounders that'll hit. You know, sometimes you get a year like 2020 where all of those guys hit with Burrow and Tua and Justin Herbert and Jordan Love. But there's some years, like the year right after in 2021, where none of them really hit. So, like, it's always a crapshoot. If you're going to draft a quarterback, the last thing that you want to have to build up is confidence. Because it's those guys that lack confidence that easily fall apart and they disappear as quickly as they came.
If Shador Sanders... he's sitting there at three. And you are Joe Shane.
He's going to be a giant.
He's going to be a giant.
I think so.
And you agree with that, right?
Of course. But okay. I'm not convinced that people, that it's not going to be what we initially heard, which is teams are going to keep trying to trade up with Cleveland, or teams are going to try to trade up and go to one, because so many teams need quarterbacks.
Right.
It's not like one or two. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. And the Giants are one. The Jets are another, even though they say they're going with Fields. But we'll see. Justin Fields hasn't acquitted himself yet, so well, we have no idea.
Look, bringing the Jets in this conversation, I'll be honest with you. If all the smoke is true and Shedeur Sanders is passed on by the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders is passed on by your football team, I'm telling you right now, I think it'd be a major mistake if the Jets pass on him. I really do. Like,
right.
I like Justin Fields. I like the signing. I like the idea of
and
him.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap and it's wonderful. You still have to take your crack at finding your future. Just like Justin Fields is a crack at finding your future,
yes.
So would Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
And I don't think Fields' contract is any way prohibitive from you going out and getting that player. Now, I understand the Jets have a lot of other holes, and Tyler Warren would be a great fit, too. Don't get me wrong. But the most important position in this sport is quarterback.
Right. If you don't have one, you don't have one.
So we've made a lot of big deals over the last few months talking about Sanders and Ward and the Giants, and they need a quarterback and Jackson Dart and all that. I'm here as a Jet fan to raise my hand and tell you, if somehow all this stuff happens and this guy's dropping, I'd be ticked off at Muji and Glenn if they pass him.
Right. I don't see how he gets past Vegas, even though they gave Geno Smith a new contract. As we suspected, it was only a 2-year extension, which is really nothing, essentially. And so why not? He's not getting a 9, definitely. I doubt he's getting past the Jets if he falls that far. He's certainly not getting past the Las Vegas Raiders. Teams need quarterbacks.
And the Giants need quarterback more than maybe anybody.
Right.
Despite adding Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, the idea, as good as Abdul Carter is, and he could be a Hall of Famer, but here's the thing, he better be a Hall of Famer. Because if you're passing on a quarterback to have a 1-year Band-Aid of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and sure, you could draft someone in the second or third round, but like you went through, the odds of hitting on that are limited. Abdul Carter would have to be a gold jacket guy for it to be okay with you passing on a potentially good to great quarterback. Can't do it.
Yeah, and I'll go as far as to say this. If you're passing on Shedeur Sanders, nothing at 34, whether it's Tyler Shuck, or Jalen Milroe, like to me, like all of those numbers we brought up, if you're passing on Shedeur Sanders and it's not Jackson Dart, you're passing on the idea at quarterback. I actually think it's a bigger mistake to flush the 34th pick down the drain by then going secondary tier quarterback. Just take the swing at 3 and keep the value
so
of those picks.
We are all in agreement.
Well, those second tier, second day, third day, quarter, they just don't work out.
So at that point, I'd rather the D-tackle that I know is plug and play.
They don't work out. Just Bobby proved that with his tweet. You should check it out. There's just not a lot of them. And there's a ton of them. I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah.
So, historically, it doesn't pan out. I know we can say, oh, Jackson Dart. But Evan's been saying this for a while now, and I'm now tending to agree with you. Jackson Dart's going in the first round.
Oh, no doubt.
And Jalen Milroe might go in the first round.
It's certainly possible, because teams need quarterbacks enough. Are we all in agreement, as we sit here 2 weeks away from this draft, that the New York Giants cannot pass on Shedeur Sanders?
If he's there.
If he's there. Yeah. Obviously, look. If you're not
trading up to get him. But
the trade-up is not realistic at this point. So let's just say Cam Ward clearly feels like he's going number one. We'll see what Cleveland does it to.
I'm not even convinced of that.
You're not convinced Cam Ward's going number one?
No, I feel like that's all a smokescreen.
You think that's a smokescreen, too?
Yes. I think they might take Shedeur.
Wow, that would be a swerve. That one, I don't see that one. I kind of sense that. They flirted with trading the first overall pick. Maybe they thought about it. Maybe they didn't get any great offers, whatever the reason was. And they're going to settle on Cam Ward. And then it's, do you believe the smoke that Cleveland is leaning towards Travis Hunter? Because that's the thing. We're trying to decipher smoke from reality. Here's all I could tell you, what I would do. All we can tell you is this is what we would do. If Shedeur Sanders is there at 3, the Giants should take him. I think they will. You believe the same thing.
I do believe that, but it's not what I would do.
What would you do?
I want Travis Hunter. I want the guaranteed star.
So you would pass on Shedeur Sanders to take Travis Hunter at 3 if he was sitting there?
Yes, because I think you can win with both of your quarterbacks that you have right now. Not that you're winning anything, but you can at least win.
I don't know, man. I don't think I agree with you.
Okay.
I don't agree with you because of this reason, and it's going to go back to the Jet thing, too. Here's the way I look at it. If you guys are good this season, right, which you're hoping for, and Travis,
with who at quarterback?
With Russell
with
Wilson.
Whoever at quarterback?
Well, Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, that's what you just laid out.
Right.
Because you're passing on a quarterback at number 3, right? So you're taking Travis Hunter, you got yourself a nice roster, and you win 8 or 9 games, which I think we'd all admit, hey, pretty good year, right? Where are you finding that quarterback? Are you running it back with Russ again?
Next year's draft?
You're picking like 17.
Okay, move up.
It's tough to. It's not easy.
Look, the problem with the first round.
You put yourself in purgatory.
All right, so the problem with the first round, because I went back and did what Bobby did, I did it for the first round quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a lot of years where it's just like, eh, okay.
Right.
In 2019, Kyler Murray, DJ, Daniel Haskins. Any of them stars? I mean, Kyler Murray won Rookie of the Year, so I guess you give him a like a check mark for being a starter, and he's gonna he's like the guy, but is he really the guy?
Daniel Jones has more playoff wins.
Right. Yeah, 2020, I told you about, which was great. 2021, none of those guys. Pickett in 2022. It's still open for this year. You go to 2018, Baker Mayfield, I guess, worked his way into it. But Sam Darnold, Rosen and Lamar and Josh Allen. So it was like it was hit or miss. So it, like you just don't know. As much as we think it's guaranteed, you just really don't know.
I think the challenge there is it's worth taking the swing in the first round. Second round, you're asking a lot for it to work out. But I think the whole key is
The second round can't be your rely upon.
Your relied upon thing. And in the first round, you take the swing, but you have to know when to get out. You can't just kick the can 5-6 years,
right.
Pull the Band-Aid off, and move on and do it again.
Let's go to Chris on Long Island. Hey, Chris.
I have to agree with Evan, and it's rare, so this is a big day for me.
Nice. Welcome.
But I see this as the Saquon draft all over again, where we took the gold jacket guy in Saquon, and he will be a gold jacket guy, but he was not the best fit for the team at the time, the way it was constructed.
Right.
And we need a quarterback now. And you're right. Shador, is he going to be great? We don't know. He's probably going to be good. And to your point, next year, Russell and Jameis are gone. Or if they're back, they're 40 or whatever. You know, that's not the future.
Right.
You know, we need to get that quarterback on this roster. And Abdul Carter or Hunter might be great, but is that making the Giants a Redskins or an Eagles caliber team next year? No. Shador could be our Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
And all of a sudden we go from being in the dumpster to being relevant again. And as you see, you know, the cheap quarterback contract is how you win. You don't win with the big-time defensive end.
And that big-time defensive end, or Travis Hunter in your case, if you draft him and he's a wide receiver, a corner, or he's both, they have to be not good. They not only have to be great, they are going to have to be revolutionary, or you're going to look back at the decision and say it was the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Saquon comparison does work. I know it's running back. It's not the same position. You can make a bigger impact if you're getting 12 sacks a year. I get that.
Right.
But they need a quarterback. And next year, you're telling me, well, we're picking 18. We'll find a way to trade up. Really? How does that usually work?
The one thing about Travis Hunter, he has a chance to be revolutionary because everything he says is that he's going to play every single snap as
a corner.
You think
Dayball's
going
to do that?
Mm. It doesn't matter if he's going to do it. It's just his intent. So part of the challenge with drafting, regardless of position, is I want to draft someone who wants to be great. Travis Hunter wants to be great. I think in Shador's case, I think he also wants to be great. He comes from a great lineage with his father, and we know as a Hall of Famer. So he wants to be great, but is he good enough to be great?
Mm.
I think we know Travis Hunter is good enough to be great. I don't know if we know that Shador Sanders is good enough.
He may
be
the better player, and he may be great, but to be picked 3 in the position this franchise is in, you need to be greater than great.
I hear you.
That's the issue. You're in a spot.
Who in this draft do you project that for, though? That's the question I think you have to ask yourself.
No, it's a tough one. You're right.
Who is your bona fide? So if you're looking at the big board, so everybody, who on that big board? And when, here are the names: Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Mason Graham, who's a D tackle from Michigan, Gentry, the running back from Boise State. I know he was unbelievable last year in college, but it's different. You got a couple of offensive linemen thrown in there. Tyler Warren's in there. Shador Sanders is in there. Cam Ward. Like, of those 8 of the top 10 or so, who's almost guaranteed to be great?
I would lean towards Travis Hunter because I get 2 cracks at it.
Yeah.
He could be a great corner or a great wide receiver.
You're right. The rest of them, there's a little bit of a question mark.
Yeah. Let's go to Rory in the Bronx. Hey, Rory.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me on. Much appreciated. I always love talking about the draft and all this speculation. That's one of my favorite times of year.
No, you're right.
You know, yeah, man. You know, I've heard Tiki say in the past, you know, just like myself, you know, I was a college football player, and I do get frustrated like Tiki does when everyone's just talking about the quarterback, the most important position. You know, football really is a team game.
It is.
And, you know, yeah, it really is. And, you know, I'm a big Jets fan, and, you know, I've seen this happen. I've seen the Jets go take a chance on a quarterback when the team wasn't ready. And the pressure that this New York sports and the media in New York, you know, we put too much pressure on these guys to win.
Right.
You know, you use that high draft capital, and the expectations are so high, and all this weight's on this rookie's shoulders. And, like, there's a reason these teams are picking at 3 and at 7. They're not that good. And, like, it takes a lot for a team to be a good football team. And I'm always in the position that, you know, yes, Evan, you're right. You know, you win on a rookie deal. You win on, like, a cheap deal. But I don't think either of these teams are there yet, in my opinion. And I think, you know, trading back if the guy you love is not there, or getting key blue-chip players at other key positions. You know, this is, in my opinion, a very heavy offensive tackle draft. I think there's a lot of good big men in this draft.
Yep.
And I really think, you know, wins and losses are ultimately determined, in my opinion, in the trenches. And, you know, both teams are lacking there, and I really think, you know,
Rory, you make such a good point, and nobody. I mean, we do talk about it, but not in depth enough. We end up getting more stuck on the quarterbacks. But, and I've said this many times, if you don't put your quarterback, whoever you're drafting, in a good position to be successful, they're not going to be. And the Jets have continuously done this. We've seen it over and over and over again. Whether it was with Sam Darnold, with a terrible coach who admittedly failed him. With Zach Wilson, who had zero competition, was just handed the job, and wore with the Giants, who just changed coaches every 2 years and coordinators, and it was impossible for Daniel Jones to be successful without always being in a prove it now, prove it again, kid. Like, if you put your young quarterback in that situation without the right infrastructure, he's going to fail.
Yeah,
and the reality. As much as I like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane as part of this organization, they're on a hot seat.
No doubt, the hottest of hots.
Again, and you know me, guys. I don't call a hot seat. I don't believe that it's real.
But this is real.
This is real.
It's real.
And so you're almost throwing a kid, a young quarterback, into a situation where if things don't go kind of just perfect, then he's going to get put into that blender that Trevor Lawrence got put in. First year, different head coach. Second year, different head coach. And it's hard to catch up from that. Caleb Williams is going to be in that exact situation. First year head coach, they fire him, and now he's in a... It's just hard. And I don't think it's smart to do that.
Where are you at? Before we let you go, I do want to... Can we talk about sports? Is that okay? I don't want to interrupt
you. He hates sports. Why would we want to talk sports?
Well, because I did walk past one of the TVs before you were on.
I was on.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
They re-air, say, from 10 to 12. Yeah.
Where do you think... What do you think the Giants are doing here with the quarterback as far as that goes?
As far as drafting Shadur?
Well, yeah, number 3. Are they taking a quarterback in this draft? Do you have any insight?
I would say this. I don't think the fact that they made the decision to bring in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson has any impact at all on whether or not they would draft Shadur. And I can't say that they think the kid's going to be great.
Mm.
If they do, they're drafting him.
What are the experts that you talk to?
The experts are like, Shadur Sanders is not a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I don't like him that much.
No. And here's a great way to describe it. If Shadur's dad were a plumber, would you take him in the top 10?
No.
Right. Right.
So Shadur's a plumber?
No, but his dad's not either.
Let that sink in.
Oh, God,
you know whose dad is? Dion.
He was a good
Yeah. Like, no joke. Like, by the way, I'll do another one for you. Yeah. Where would he have played college football if Dion's not his coach?
Well, look where he started.
Right?
I mean, so small. So
the consensus second best quarterback in the draft.
Because
though.
It's not a good quarterback draft.
Okay.
Right?
So
I'm the tallest dwarf in the circus. Big deal. Right.
So right? The Giants should just not take a quarterback again.
No, I think the Giants have lots of needs, right? Now, I'm not a Giant fan. You guys aren't either, right? But if you're a Giant fan, let's assume Cam goes to Tennessee.
Well,
Cleveland's on the clock. Cleveland's probably not taking Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
They need a quarterback as much as the Giants need a future quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they take, what's his name, Abdul from Penn Carter. State? Abdul Carter. Put him with Myles Gowdy. Pretty good defense, right?
Good. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Giants are on the clock. You're not taking Travis Hunter?
I think they take Travis Hunter.
100% I think they take him.
I would not.
You would take whom? You go left tackle?
I want Carter. If I'm not picking quarterback there, I'd probably trade down if I'm the Giants.
Okay.
You could do that.
I don't like Hunter. I don't like the idea of a two-way player.
Okay.
I think he's great at both.
This pick is Shane's job.
Yeah.
And because he effed it up so badly, especially with the Hard Knocks episode, he ain't getting a second job as a GM. Pro personnel director, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is it. If he messes up that pick, I don't care what he does in the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth round, he's done. And by the way, Dable's coaching for his life also.
Yeah, but hold on. What if he, I agree with that, but what if he nails the pick, but it's not a quarterback?
Yeah.
So he would be lauded from an executive perspective. Hey, he had a good, not a great, but a good draft last year.
Yeah.
He crushed the third overall pick with Hunter Carter, whomever
offensive
lineman kid from Missouri, whatever they might do.
Yeah.
But they still don't have a quarterback. Like, and that's really what Sal keeps saying. Like, I don't want to compound it and make it worse. I don't like many quarterbacks in this draft, so I'm not taking one for the Giants early, that's for sure.
Okay.
But eventually, you got to take a swing and get a quarterback. So
yeah, but I don't take the swing and draft a quarterback just because, everyone thinks I need a quarterback, because the kid can't play, or whatever kid you may talk about, is by definition already a project, right?
Yeah.
So the Giants have two choices here. You go draft Travis Hunter or Lyman, Abdul Carter, whatever it is. You're not drafting a quarterback in this draft. Does anybody think Russell Wilson still has gas in the tank?
I'm not a fan. I'm not looking forward to watching him play.
I think he's better than,
Daniel Jones?
Average. I think he's better than Daniel Jones. I give Brian Daboll credit that he's known as a guy that gets the most out of quarterbacks. Like, Daniel Jones did win a road playoff game when no one expected him to against Minnesota, and obviously it went south from there. But we're going to take Jackson Dart in the fifth round? Like, what are we doing?
I find it amazing,
right?
Sal. He leaves us here at WFAN, and he comes back a sports fan.
No.
You asked the question.
I didn't know. I wanted to try to get back on track a little bit.
Yeah, I hate draft Nick stuff, because no one knows what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, who do you think? Are you going to take the offensive lineman from Ohio State?
He's got good hips.
Tore his patella tendon? Yeah, that's what I'm going to draft.
Right. The draft is the one thing that even the people that know what they're talking about have no idea what they're talking
about.
Look,
I tell my kids there's three truths in life when it comes to sports and what you know about sports. Number one, nobody cares about your fantasy team.
Right.
Number two, nobody cares about your March Madness bracket. Number three, nobody cares about your mock draft.
And yet that's all we leave.
That's it.
They're all true.
But it's also April 10th. And
Who do you?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.